Somebody Loves You by Mona Arshi and read by the author for Saga Egmont. For my mother. I look for myself and am not to be found. I am of all chrysanthemum hours, bright above tall vases. I have to make of my soul an ornamental thing. Fernando Pessoa, The Book of Disquiet. Eggs. A man is offering her a bowl. She peers inside and there is an egg, nestled in light peat, close to the surface. It is a small blue egg, perfect and complete. She gently lifts it out of the bowl and places it in her mouth, and the egg, still warm, breaks onto her tongue, makes her retch a little, but still she swallows it. She closes and reopens her eyes, and a blue bird escapes from her mouth, then another, and another, until the room is filled with their iridescent turquoise feathers and clamour of yellow-black beaks. A few settle on her head, others perch on her shoulders, but then, after a few minutes, and for no discernible reason, they quickly flit back inside. A hymn of bodies, returning as they enter back through her parted lips. Several fly into and penetrate her torso. When the last bird has gone, she closes her mouth and leaves the room. Foxes. The day my sister tried to drag the baby fox into our house was the same day my mother had her first mental breakdown. In many ways, it was the perfect morning for a breakdown. The rain was spitting softly. The Parker's dog just wouldn't stop barking. It went on emitting that terrible noise like it was a machine loaded with everlasting batteries. In the living room, I had just finished watching a long documentary about wild kangaroos. Upstairs, there was a doctor, the aunties, and my father, of course. There was a toy, a miniature replica camera that my sister was jealous of, and she kept prizing the camera from my fingers and pointing it at things she liked the look of and saying, "See, I can click," till eventually I had to steal it away from her and hang the long leather strap around my neck. For days we had known about the foxes. They had come closer and closer to the house and had been chewing at the garden boots my mum had stored under the corrugated plastic shelter. I went into the kitchen and the side door was open, and there was Rania, crouching on the steps, carrying a bundle, a blanket covering the body, so that only its ears and eyes were visible. I heard the front door click open, then slam shut. The fox yelped and slipped away, and we didn't see my mother again for 3 whole months. Marrow. Since infancy, my sister has been stimulated by gore, guts, and blood. My parents said that when she was still in her buggy, she would sniff the air, aroused by the smell of the butchers, then unbuckle her harness and head to the spectacle of the shop window. She would be at the front of the circle, pushing forward, wanting, but also needing to see. For some time, my sister's most frequent questions were, "Could you see the bone? And how much blood?" Rania befriended Martin Higgins at school, who was prone to long nosebleeds. She was always coming to his aid when he was bleeding across the school field during sports lessons or after too much sunshine, which disturbed the delicate blood vessels in this pale and nervous boy's nostrils. Whilst the teacher struggled to stem the flow with cigar-shaped cotton rolls, Rania would be by her side, holding napkins and asking, "How many pints do you think he's leaked? When will he start clotting? Will he pass out? How long will he keep bleeding for?" Usually about 1.5 hours. For some time, my parents...